Hello, good evening, everyone. And as soon as you join, one of the first things I wanted to do is to share this room and invite someone to participate. You can share a clip or share the link. I'm just going to add a few topics here and then the link so that we'll have it a little bit of focus on what we are going to do tonight. Tonight, we are going to be talking about buying and selling. And I believe that selling is one of the most important skills every entrepreneur should have. We're going to be talking about why people would bother paying attention to you buying your product. All right, so let me just share the link myself to the WhatsApp group. And then we'll get started. Looking forward to have a few people join tonight. We are live. Okay. All right. So my name is Kenneth Igiri, and I'm part of a group called Kabila, a community of African entrepreneurs in the consumer goods space. Of course, there are many of us who are beyond consumer goods or doing something else in career professionals, trying to develop themselves in their career, who probably are also benefiting from the thoughts we are sharing. Thank you. I think someone just joined from the web. And we share these principles, and we believe these principles are relevant, not just to business, but to anyone who is looking for ways to develop themselves. The topic tonight is, what on God's green earth would make me buy your product? Every business is selling something. If you are not selling something, if there's no product, if there's no exchange of value going on, then you're probably not supposed to be in business. Every entrepreneur should first of all learn how to sell. Learn how to sell. That is what sustains the business. Even if you are an NGO, even if you are you're a charity, you're not for profit, you should be able to sell your value, your idea, in order for people to donate to your cause. So selling is a critical skill if you're going to make any impact, if you're in any kind of venture. You should be able to talk about what you're doing and essentially invite people to join in terms of what you're doing. As soon as you join this room, do share the link. Let other people know about what is going on here. And I mentioned earlier that I just put a link in this chat room, signed the petition. The petition is basically trying to drive the demand for locally made goods, and we are compelling influencing and asking Africans to commit 40% of their budget to locally made consumer goods, where we have an advantage. And we believe that in increasing the demand for these goods essentially spurs local entrepreneurs to keep doing more, to keep producing more, and keeps the money within our localities. Right, so I'm going to start the conversation with five possible reasons people might be buying your product. Five possible reasons people might be buying your product. And once I finish talking about that, I'm going to talk about the whole concept of selling, how you are doing your selling, and whether you're doing it right. And I'm doing this because I noticed the hesitation in some people when I ask them to advertise their goods on our social media, on our WhatsApp platform. When I'm done with that, number three, I'm also going to talk about social selling, how to sell on social media, some of the tips we've learned here and there about selling your product, making sure it's reaching the right audiences and reaching, going far in its reach. I'm also going to talk about competitor analysis and the fact that this is warfare. And even though it's warfare, you also want to collaborate with your so-called competitors. When I'm done with that, I'm going to talk about the process and structure required to develop a selling machine that can scale. So about five things I'm going to talk about today. Why people buy from you, how you are selling, social selling, competitor analysis, and the process and structure of your business that can help you, you know, establish something that creates consistent sales. Why do people buy from you? These are based on my observations of people who have tried to do any kind of selling, any kind of business, whom I've worked with at a certain level. The first possible reason that people buy from you is that they like you. They like your personality. They appreciate you. They want to support you. You know, they like what you're doing. You are amiable. I mean, you are attractive. Maybe you are attractive physically. Maybe you are attractive in other ways. Some way, somehow, it could even be that they, in quote, pity you. I mean, they are sorry for you. I'm sorry about that. I mean, that's probably the case. Some people are sorry for you. So they say, look, this guy is trying so hard. So let me just buy something from him. It could be that all the people you're selling to are your, you know, friends and relatives. So you're very good social. So generally, they want to buy. They like you. So they buy from you. But that kind of selling is not sustainable. After a while, people begin to ask themselves questions. Is this thing really valuable to me, or am I just, you know, trying to support someone? They may also get tired because they see you're not scaling beyond them. When you're not scaling beyond them, they are your only customers. Only those who like you are buying from you, and you're not scaling beyond them. It's also a problem, you know, after a while they get tired. So buying because they like you is not necessarily a sustainable model. It's a good starting point, not a sustainable model. People could also be buying because you have an amiable personality. You're able to convince them. You're able to wrap words around them. Oh, please buy from me. Some people even go to the extent of begging, saying, please, please help me and buy. You know, I mean, it's great. It's a good way, but it doesn't scale. It doesn't scale when people are buying from because they pity you, because you're able to beg them effectively. You know, effective begging is not necessarily effective selling. So the fact that you're able to beg effectively for a sale does not mean you're selling effectively. So people could be buying from you because you have a good personality, because you can wrap them enough, you can cajole them enough to buy. Some people do that. Maybe you go from office to office. The person has some you know, spare cash. So when you beg heavily enough, they are able to buy. Of course, selling is more honorable than pure begging, which means, you know, collecting money for free. But again, it's not as scalable. The third reason why people might buy from you is your persistence. And I've seen this powerfully work for people, especially those in multi-level marketing. I used to be there some years ago. And I've seen people who are really powerful at being persistent, staying on course, bombarding you with sales until you give in, until you surrender to the bombardment. You know, sales by bombardment is also okay. I mean, it could work, but it exerts a lot of energy. From you as the salesperson, it exerts a lot of energy if you have to always bombard people, you know, throw things at them, flyers, offers, this, that, WhatsApp messages, face, and so forth, before they buy from you. Yeah, that's a possible reason they are buying from you, that you are persistent, that you are, tenacious in your outlook. And it's a skill. It's a skill, and it could work also. People could also buy from you because what you are selling is in the region of a monopoly, in the region of something that in your area nobody else is doing it. You have consumed the market, you've taken over the market, you're the only laundry person, you know, around here, so people have to come to you. I've told the story before of a certain laundry shop, you know, around my area where I used to live some years ago, where they were not open on Saturdays, you know, they were not open on Saturdays, or they closed by 2 p.m. on Saturdays. And I asked myself, why would a laundry shop close by 2 p.m. on a Saturday? Who is going to bring their clothes during the week? The people that bring their clothes to you as a laundry shop would be those that work during the week, right? But the reason why they probably were sustainable was because they were the only one around. So people had to adjust their schedules to fit their model, to their model. The clothes on Saturdays by 2 p.m. So, I mean, we just bring our clothes early, even though we don't step out of bed that early. So in a monopoly of that nature, a business that is running and generally does not have anyone else competing with you, yes, you could be succeeding based on that you are a monopoly. The final reason I want to touch on today is the quality of your product. The quality of your product, the relevance of your offer is what you're selling, something that is of value to people. Now, when you get to that level where people are buying from you because what you have has value, then you started scaling when what you're selling is valuable intrinsically. By itself, it has value. By itself, it has value enough. You don't need to talk too much. Yes, definitely you must sell. You must talk about it. You must introduce the product to people. But the point is, their primary driver, their primary reason for making that purchase is not because they like you, not because you're begging them to buy, not because you are exceptionally persistent, not because you are the only one having this product, but because the product has intrinsic value. Now, while we keep that in mind, it is still important to sell deliberately. And I'll just touch on three points which, you know, border on how to sell and how to make sure you're actually making the effort at selling. Number one, you have to be deliberate. You have to say, I want to sell this product. I have to create a mechanism to market it. Some people call it a marketing plan. I have to create a selling system. I have to create a routine, you know, of selling. What are the kind of routines of selling? Deliberate routines. These days of social media, people are deliberate on social media, showing up every day, posting stuff, and the end game is to sell, really. The end game of their posting is selling, and I'll talk about that in the next section. Now, people are deliberate. Some people have to wake up in the morning, go from store to store, shop to shop, house to house, office to office, introducing their product to people. That tenacity, that resilience is a requirement in being deliberate. Deliberate, saying, look, this is how I'm going to sell this product. You don't just sit and hope that people will come to buy. You have to create a mechanism for selling. Advertising is a mechanism for selling. People are deliberately out there making sure people are hearing about my product. And I gave this example in the WhatsApp group earlier, where somebody at this big soda companies, big, soft drink companies, they are bombarding you with adverts on a daily basis. It is part of their marketing strategy. They are showing you their product. Their product is in your face day after day after day. And they are trying to make sure that you are on their minds. They are deliberate about it. They obviously, probably a million people see their products a day. Obviously, not a million people buy the product. But the moment you think about a soft drink, you think about the last person that made an impression on your mind. So as someone who has a product, as someone who has something to sell, one of the things you want to do is to be deliberate about your sales process. Be deliberate about your marketing. Because your end game is to sell. You want to sell. You're pushing to sell. You want to sell your product. You want your value to be known. And I want to twist it a little bit and talk about even those who are selling themselves. If you are a career person, you're looking for a new job, there are ways to sell yourself today. There are ways to become deliberate about selling yourself. Deliberate about selling yourself could mean you're showing up at the right places on LinkedIn and making sure people know your value. You're engaging in the correct conversations, making sure people know your value, because every employer that offers you a job is actually buying you. Are you selling you enough for someone to at some point decide that I'm going to buy you. That is all that about that deliberateness, being deliberate, putting out those articles, getting those conversations, going for those career exhibitions and all that, or company exhibitions, or job events and all that. Being deliberate about selling yourself, deliberate about selling. You can't be laid back about this. You can't be silent about the product. If the product has value, you must know that you have to be deliberate about selling it. The number two is be persistent. You being an entrepreneur is a very tiring job. It can become very discouraged, especially at the early stages. Launching anything of value, launching any venture of value is something that you have to look at and say, look, I am in this thing and I'm going to do it. Being persistent, being resilient, being consistent, that is part of the game. Being persistent, resilient, consistent, making sure you're showing up every day. Every time you need to show up. Every day you need to show up. Being persistent, staying on it, hitting the hammer. You see, someone gave the illustration that if you're going to crack a thick stone, if you're going to crack a rock, I mean, you can crack a rock by getting a bulldozer, but if all you have is a hammer, you have to hit it for a long time. You know, if you had $1 million to sink into your business, maybe you do like the OP. Some of them, they come up and vanish after a while, because no matter how much you have, if you don't have the what it takes to be an entrepreneur, that money will only make you famous for a short amount of time. Now, but the point is, and all you have is a hammer, not a bulldozer. And as long as you keep striking the rock, at some point, the rock will give way. So persistence, resilience, consistency, those are critical characteristics, critical attributes of anyone who is going to make impact in this present world. The third thing is continuous improvement, right? So the first time somebody buys a product, they're probably going to give you feedback. The first time somebody buys a product, it's at a certain level. And if you want to move up, if you want to scale out, scale up, if you want to get into the hearts of more people, you have to have a plan that says, this is how I'm continuously improving the value of the product so that more people will want to buy it. Remember that the peak of why people buy from you should be the value that you are delivering. The value that you're delivering should be the peak of why people buy. Therefore, being able to improve on and on, on a continuous basis is critical for you to make sure that you are, extending the scope of your selling, right? Yeah, so let me talk a little bit about social selling. One of the key rules about social selling is the value-value-sell, approach, value-value-sell, Give value the first time, give value the second time, the third time, sell something. And people, it's such a reality, because people don't like being sold to. People don't like you trying to sell something to them. They don't like you trying to sell something to them. So they want to know who you are. They want to know what value you bring before you make them an offer asking them to part with their money. So the technique that a lot of people who are making it online do is to say, I want to show my value the first time, show my value the second time, and then tell you to buy something. And it's a continuous cycle you want to repeat, whether you are giving that value publicly on your post or privately in inboxes of the people who are your target customers. Value, value, sell. The second thing is focus. If you're launching a page on social media, or social media, or anywhere for that matter, you want to stay on a particular niche, in your sales. There are many reasons for this. One of the key reasons for this is that the algorithms of most social media platforms, will help you, target will help you reach your target customer if there is clarity. Clarity is more clarity on what you are selling. That focus is critical. That focus is critical. Being able to use the right hashtags, the right calls to action that is focused on a particular niche, on a particular customer base, that focus is critical. Be able to design your page and say, look, this is what I am about. Thank you for those who are just joining. Appreciate it. I wish you could be on the app so that I can respond with your speech as well, but that's fine. So focus is critical. Being able to say, this is my niche. I want to stay here. And the algorithm over time grows your brand for you by suggesting your product to the right set of people. The same thing with identifying the hashtags that matter to the people you're trying to sell to, the hashtags that are in line or aligned with the product you're trying to sell. Very critical. And ending your show of value after the third attempt with that call to action. People like to be told what to do. Click this button to learn more. Click here to make a purchase. Follow the page. Call to action. Very important. The third thing is engagement and leveraging a tribe. Now, the word kabila is actually a Swahili word for tribe. And that is what it's about. Being able to create a community of people interested in something similar and also interested in helping each other grow. Now, you want to try to create that for your own business. Create that for your brand. Who loves you enough to come into your circle? Who loves you enough to support your brand? To be able to say, the moment I publish this advert, I know that at least 20 people are going to make a comment on it. At least 20 people are going to share it. At least 20 people are going to, you know, like what I'm doing. And you must be able to do that for some other person as well. Engagement is critical. Are you engaging, responding to conversations online, offline that are relevant to your brand? It could be attending events, getting up to speak. And we had an interactive ideation session today, and I always start with the concept of a pitch. And one of the things I say about a pitch is that a pitch is not just for getting investment. A pitch could be a way of introducing yourself at an event. Hello, my name is Kenneth Igiwe, and I'm a strategy coach. During the week, I spend my time developing designs for my organization. On weekends, I spend my time building simple strategies for small businesses. Visit kennethigiwe.com to learn more. That is my introduction. That is one flavor of my introduction. I can do it in a minute. It's a pitch of sorts directed at people who might be interested in what I'm selling. So being able to engage at an event like that, stand up to speak. The moment you stand up, you introduce yourself and then contribute to the conversation that is going on. You can do the same on Clubhouse. You can do the same on LinkedIn in the conversation. Being able to not just type wonderful, solid, awesome. No, engage in the conversation. Type something in the comment that shows your expertise in the area of your engagement, in the area of your focus. That is how you keep your social media meaningful and directed at selling your brand, selling your product. Let's talk about riding on events and influencers. And a lot of people do this too. Events could be special days in your nation, maybe the Independence Day or some great person's birthday, some events of that nature, or influencers. And you just follow them. And the reason why you're following them is because you want to place a comment on everything they are saying that is relevant to your brand. And you want to make sure that you are actually, you know, showing expertise. At some point, your comments start becoming the most relevant comment. At some point, Facebook, for example, will offer you being a top fan, you know, of this influencer. What that does for you is that other people who are followers of this influencer begin to notice you. And someone, I think it was Bimi Sola, the monetization queen, who taught us that on Instagram, you could make this a daily practice. Go and place a comment on, place 10 likes, 10 comments on everyone you are following who is an influencer. Every day do it 10 times. Every day do it 10 times. By the time you do it for 30 days, people begin noticing you on Instagram and begin to follow you. So those engagements are riding on influencers, riding on events, bring visibility to your brand, and then you ride on it to make a sale. Social selling, that's what we're talking about in this section. Contributing to communities, groups, Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups, make a contribution. Let people know what you know. Let people know what you do and keep doing it. And of course, showing off might sound like being prideful or being vain, but the truth is that if people don't know what you're doing, then people are not going to buy from you. I want you to think about it very critically. Do you believe in your product? Do you believe in what you are selling? Do you believe in enough in it to consistently tell people, this is the value I'm delivering? And I feel that too many people are too laid back about what they're doing. Do sunk in just in your small corner and all that. That is not going to work anymore. You need to think about it and question yourself. Do I believe in this thing that I'm doing? Do I believe in it enough to post it on a daily basis on my WhatsApp status? Do I believe in it on a consistent to be able to talk about it in public? Do I believe in what I'm doing? If you don't believe in what you're doing in psychology, nobody else will, and you will not make a sale. Believe enough to showcase it, to show it off wherever you find the opportunity. And today, these days, we have so many opportunities to showcase what we are doing. All right, that was about social selling. Number four, I'm talking about competitor analysis. Competitor analysis. Now, one of the things we do in the interactive ideation selling is called PESTEL. You know, evaluating the factors, the macro factors that affect your business. It is easy for you to sit in your cocoon and think that you are the best, but you are not necessarily the best. If you're not evaluating what others are doing, you may be living in some kind of fool's paradise, thinking you are the best when you are not. You must look out there and see, what are others doing? What are others doing in my field? How are they selling their product? What do their website look like? Excuse me. How do they craft their social media posts? What is their sales process? You can even go out as far as buying a product from them to see how it happens, how their delivery happens, how their customer engagement is, and so forth. Be able to check out what other people are doing so that you evaluate yourself honestly and then improve based on what you are learning. Be in the market and learn. Be in the market. Be out there. Don't, you know, be in your own cocoon and all that, thinking that you're the best. You can't be the best and be where you are. You need to go out there, ask people questions, interact with people in your industry, and be sure that people are really that you are really aligned with the realities of your industry. That's how you get to know. And while you are doing that evaluation, while you're consistently finding out what others are doing that you can, in quote, copy, make sure you're also finding people who are willing to collaborate with you. Collaborate, they call it competition. Compete, you're competing, but you're also collaborating. Collaborate with people. Find people who will collaborate with among your competitors. Define the terms of the collaboration. There are always terms, and you must always protect your own interests in those collaborations, obviously. But understand that you can't just keep trying to go solo and think you'll be able to break even, break into the market significantly. That collaboration could be also upward. Maybe there are people who are bigger than you that are willing to mentor you, willing to share their own ideas, willing to share their thoughts with you. Leverage that. Final thing we're going to talk about tonight, number five, process and structure. Process and structure. I had the opportunity to show my to somebody onboarded last week, and I realized that there was a little problem with the Flutterwave link, which I was using just last week, and he was finding it difficult to make a payment, so we had to give an alternative means. Now, some people, I think this also came up in the last Kabila community workshop, where one of the attendees, Vivian, was asking that she doesn't like collecting checks, and that some people like to pay with checks. And I said, look, if it's your boss and he says, I like my coffee with honey, are you going to tell him honey is not good for you? You have to use date syrup. No, you're going to do what your boss says. If the customer is the boss, then you have to make it easy for the customer to pay you. Selling means there has to be a process and a structure that makes it as easy as possible with alternative paths for that purchase to happen, because you are in business for money. primarily to a large extent, or for the exchange of value, if you like. But you must make it as easy as possible for people to make that payment. That's why a lot of people these days, they just do WhatsApp chat, mobile money. WhatsApp chat, mobile money is great. But of course, when you're scaling, you can't be chatting with all your customers. You have to find a way for people to pay you when you're not there. That's another matter. But the point is, make it easy to make the purchase. Make it easy to make the purchase. Give alternatives when the sophisticated technologies are not working. Number two, that process and structure you're building should also get to a point where we can buy what you're selling without you being there. Without you being there, you should be able to sell. That's why the payment platforms are available. That's why mobile money is available. That's why instructions should be clear about what they should do, right? Seek to collect your money first. Seek to collect your money any way that the customer can send it. Collect your money first, then deliver the service. Make sure you are engaging at that level. People don't like what is free, so make sure you are actually selling. So today we've talked about a few things in terms of this topic. What on God's green earth would make me buy from you? We've talked about why people buy from you, five reasons cumulating at the top one, which is the fact that your product itself has intrinsic value. We've also talked about how you are doing your selling, the deliberate nature, the persistence, consistency, your resilience, as well as the ability to improve the value of your product. We've also talked a lot about social selling. We've talked about competitor analysis, and we've talked about the process and the structure that you've set up in order to make sure you are selling. So now I don't know whether those on the web can ask questions or drop a chat or anything like that. That would be great if you can ask questions, make a contribution, or joining on the app and come on stage and speak. But let me just wrap it up by saying a few more things around this area. As someone who is in entrepreneurship, or you're trying to sell yourself or your brand, you want to once in a while sit back and evaluate and ask yourself, why did this person make this purchase? Will this person make this purchase again? Or is this a one-time sale? Did he buy from me because he wants me to stop bothering him? Did he buy from me because I am his brother or her brother or sister? Did he buy from me because he's pitying me, he's trying to help me, right? Did he buy from me because he sees me as something cheap that he can just, he doesn't really need the money that much? You need to reflect on these, because if you're not reflecting on these, you're not growing to the point where people will buy the value of your product, and not just for these other less powerful reasons. Reflect on that. Why are people buying your product? Don't stay where you are. Don't remain where you are at your position. Reflect on why people are making that purchase and try to improve it, moving towards that peak, which is, I want to make sure my product has intrinsic value. Thank you very much for listening. This has been Kabila Communities Clubhouse, broadcast. And remember, we're still signing the petition. Sign the petition to increase the demand for locally made products, particularly consumer products. Sign the petition. Make a commitment of 40% on your budget. I put that link on the header of this chat. And if you'd like to join our WhatsApp group, that would be awesome. You can just reach out on any of our platforms, Facebook, on LinkedIn, and join our WhatsApp group. You get the reminders, you get more value within those systems, and you become part of our tribe. If you like this, do share it. Share a clip, share the link. Let other people be able to listen to it later on. I appreciate your being here. God bless you. And see you again next Sunday, 9 p.m. GMT, or within the week. Thank you. Have a wonderful week.